Second reality check, though, is honest money. If we're going to let a main government control money, create a monopoly on money, make it out of thin air, so play games with its value right from the very start, trade nothing for something. Let me say that again. Trade nothing for something. We're in a serious, serious problem, and we'll never get out of it unless we have honest money, unless we turn to God Almighty. Those are two of the kind of quintessential liberty moves people need to understand and make. And the money thing is very complex because a lot of people don't understand it. They've never lived with honest money, so they don't know how it would really be. It's a scary transition, they think, and we can go on and on about that. But before we get to all the details, I want to just highlight Sheriff Mack is traveling. He's currently in Florida. Before that, he was in, I think, Virginia. Jack, you were with Sheriff Mack in Virginia just a week ago, right?
Yes, sir. I got to spend Saturday evening with a good sheriff in a place called Marshall. But that way woods, kind of a hit with a really lovely home setting, and quite a few put up from the Washington area and the surrounding Northern Virginia area. And, it was a delight. We had food and creations that were including child trafficking. And then we had some local politicians trying to make a case about how to be able to deal with some of the better questions. And then Sheriff did a presentation about what he does and, you know, talking about how the sheriff basically is the final frontier, the place where the rubber meets the road and the last stop. And personally, until it comes down to you defending your own house, the sheriff is the last place that we get an official fort against the encroaching violence and terror that's possible. And I think the sheriff is explaining how this can be done without those things if we get a handle on it right now, Sam, and get out there in front of it.
Well, that is the truth. The sheriff is kind of the last line of defense. He's supposed to interpose and protect us citizens who elected him from enemies foreign and domestic. And sadly, you know, that domestic enemy, our government seems to be one of the biggest threats we face today. I know they want you to believe that China is the big threat, Russia is the big threat. By all means, they're threats to us. But really, our own internal government, you know, headed by Joe Biden, you know, they just pushed through this FISA 702 lie. And what they've really done is behind the scenes expanded the surveillance on all of us. I mean, the Republicans literally behind the scenes expanded surveillance on all of us, even in this latest iteration. A few people spoke out, but I didn't hear a lot of pushback necessarily. So we have to depend on our sheriffs and our governors and states' rights. And we've really got to push back on the general government. They've been given a list of responsibilities via the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. And then we've separated that list into three branches to further divide power to protect the people. But now they just seem to be running around with reckless abandon, literally violating all the core delegations we gave them. They're not doing things that they're delegated, responsible to do, and they are doing things they have no authority to do. So, for example, the border leaks like a sieve. Well, it is a mandate that the general government should protect us and protect our borders. They're not doing that. However, they are promoting dishonest money, something they don't have any authority to do. The Constitution calls for honest money, but yet we don't see much of it, sadly. I don't really see any honest money anywhere. Now, there's a few states like Utah and Arkansas, and I can't remember what other states, but they've tried to put together constitutional currency saying gold and silver is not money. Gold and silver is not just precious metal. It's actual money. And so there's been some efforts to bring us back to firm ground when it comes to money. The Bible calls it honest weights and measures. And that's an interesting term as well. You can't have a society built on dishonesty. You can't have a society built on this idea that government is going to violate the 10th Amendment and take over authority it never has while ignoring delegated authority that we've given the general government. That's really the problem. And all of the problems that we face, I trace back to either we're not paying attention to God and or we have dishonest money. Thou shalt not steal. Dishonest money creating a $100 bill when the piece of paper costs 2.5 cents to print, and then say it's $100. And then on top of that lie, we're going to charge you interest that never ends because we have a monopoly on money. The fix is in, Jack.
Oh, my God. You better believe it's in. And, you know, Sam, we live in a, a virtual world, and the world is becoming even more virtual, and hence all this talk about AI, et cetera. In fact, I am making a living right now writing some AI stuff. I want to say for the record, technology itself is not bad. It's a wonderful thing, can be used for every kind of good imaginable, and always could have been. However, there's a group of people that have taken charge of our world and have done so and been involved with our world since at least 1902, but before that, even involving themselves in the Civil War, shooting at Andrew Jackson several times, murdering a number of our presidents, et cetera. And they have been constantly working to get themselves inside the United States. And as you mentioned, after 1913, they have stayed in our heart and basically were using our blood as their capital. And they siphoned off the blood of the American wealth system, transforming all of the physical assets into their personal assets, replacing them with virtual assets, which is what we have now in the form of fiat currency, but also all of the wealth that people can basically can own today. If you're one of the type of people who believe that you understand the market system and you're you know, suave enough to be able to get in and do investments and so forth, those are all virtual too. There's nothing that you can hold in your hand that's worth anything. You can have contracts and you can have a variety of different types of cryptocurrencies. And I'm not anti-cryptocurrency in general. But variety of those are not anything but vapor. And then, of course, we have instruments like credit default swaps, et cetera, mountains and mountains of fake and made up instruments that turn into nothing when they're examined very carefully. And they will become nothing in a very short time here in the future, as we're told that, oh, sorry, you're not going to be able to maintain your dollar-based economic system anymore, but we've got a solution for you already, so don't worry. You may go hungry for a few weeks or months, but you know, we're going to fix you right up. Now, Sam, I can continue in this, but if you want to jump in.
Yeah, so I want to say this, folks. I know that when you think about honest money and you think about the Federal Reserve that's been in place for over 100 years and it's literally destroyed our currency, you know, you used to, a dollar used to mean something. And believe it or not, they pegged gold at $35 a long time ago. Now silver's at $35. How long will it be till copper is at $35 is the real question. But look, you can't solve the world's problems by 3 o'clock. You can't force a nation to repent and change and go back to honest money. Now we can all push for that. We should work for that on a societal level. I get it. But what you really need to do is think internally to your own individual stability, safety, wealth, prosperity. And you need to look at those around you, your loved ones, your family members, your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandparents, and you can build stability there. So Jack Mullen, ladies and gentlemen, writes weekly commentaries about current market conditions. All of his articles are available at My Patriots, that's with an S, MyPatriotsNetwork.com, MyPatriotsNetwork.com. And the first article that he wrote that I want to talk about, some of these articles have been around for a little bit, but they're timeless because the truth about money is timeless. Building a fortress against the destruction of the dollar. Think about that. Building a fortress against the destruction of the dollar. And he goes by the moniker Silver Savior. You know, a lot of people have pen names. So Jack's is Silver Savior, highlighting that, you know what? Honest money can save us. Jack, let's start there and let's talk about building a little bit of wealth, because I don't want people to be confused about how negative this is. It's incredibly negative, but there are things that you could do. It's not all negative. And I want people to kind of understand the end from the beginning. The end statement we make is that there are ways that you can protect yourself and insulate yourself and your family from this carnage that is coming to a, I don't know, a bank, a theater, whatever. A job loss near you, but there is and there are ways to build a fortress against the destruction of the dollar. Jack?
Sam, it's only negative if you decide to think of it that way. I mean, look, for example, how has life ever gotten any better? Now, individually, some people's lives gotten better over the course of existence in the United States, but in general, for the entire population, things have gotten worse and worse and worse. And it's, you can say that since the very beginning, but I usually like to go back to Andrew Jackson and go forward. And so, you know, what can we do? It's the devil we know or the devil we don't know. I mean, we know that we already have a bad system and that it is criminal. It's a system of slavery, the most ingenious system of slavery ever created in the history of mankind. But on the other hand, you know, now it seems to be crumbling as it was designed to do. And this is sort of like our jubilee. It's a door opening into a better future. So from that point of view, I don't see anything that I talk about as negative. I like to point out what they have done so most people can understand how we got to where we are, and then talk about what we can do going forward. And it all depends on individuals. Individuals make all the decisions about this world, and they can, as a group, get together and do amazing things, and it doesn't take that many people. But if they have no clue about what's going on, then they can't possibly help. And I know that for the financial system, it's been designed to be cryptic. It's designed to be difficult to understand. It's a bunch of words, and words are the way in which they control the way we think, and therefore our minds and our behavior and actions. But the monetary system really is a simple thing if you just go back to the basics. And in this particular article, I'm trying to make a point that we have a way. With the plan that I've already talked about a little bit, to move everyone from the virtual system of fiat currency, but still having a physical component that we know as the dollar bill, and other things that are related to that physical dollar bill, they'd like to see us move into one of their last bastions of containment, which would be the central bank digital currency. And a lot of people believe that, you know, that that they could go ahead and make it into this system and not have to worry because, you know, the government's going to take care of them. Obviously, these people are not up to speed, and there's nothing about our government being run by the people who are running it that is going to take care of us at all. This is just a system of deception designed to make it a little easier to get to the part where it hurts really bad. And so in this particular article, I'm saying that gold and silver are the pillars of stability in a financial world. Now, we can see that they tell us all the time, I think it was Greenspan. No, not Greenspan. One of the ones that came after him, a Treasury Secretary, that said that, that you know, the dollar was, Bernanke said the dollar was just, the bar of gold was just a historical relic. Obviously, that's what they'd like you to think, because it is absolutely opposite of the fiat dollar. It actually has value outside of the world of dollars. It does maintain its value. It consistently can buy the same sort of things it bought years ago. And I recommend that people look into, there's a website, and I listed in one of these articles, that lets you price things based in gold rather than pricing them in dollars. And you will be quite surprised, maybe even blown away, to learn that the price of food has been dropping steadily since the 1960s when you're pricing it in gold. And of course, what that means is that the dollar's purchasing power has been following very quickly in that period of time. Many may remember 1960 was the last time we had anything physical in terms of the things that we're allowed to carry around, like silver, for example, was still in the coins. Prior to 19 and up to 1964, we still had coins that had silver in them. But after 1964, the big race began to get rid of all of those barbarous relics, as they define them, out of our financial system. And by 1971, Nixon had taken the entire United States financial system off a gold standard. So what we're saying here is that these people don't want you to understand that there is a system outside of a dollar. A dollar is a fiction. It's a fantastic deception created with very deep thought that brought us to this particular point. And for the most part, the U.S. dollar worked pretty well. It's lasted longer than any other of its own type. But that was because of another amazing thing that they were able to do, which is push the inflation that is caused by a fiat currency based on debt out into the world. And by using the U.S. military to force the rest of the nations to purchase their oil in dollars, they were able to export their inflation for decades. A fantastic scam that will be looked at later on in time as just an ingenious.
So like all Ponzi schemes, Jack, what they had to do is they had to basically foist it on the American people. Then they had to let the inflation grow. In order to keep the con going, you've got to ever expand your victims. And so they've ever expanded the victims to the world. They jettisoned gold and silver, honest money, according to the Constitution. They now violate the Constitution, and they basically tied our dollar to the petrodollar now, which means oil-backed dollars, so to speak. And they've leveraged enemies of America with this forced fiat global domestic dollar. And I say global domestic, I know that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but it was intentionally in the beginning kind of a United States internal thing. But as things grow, they have to take that Ponzi scheme. It has to get bigger and bigger and gobble up victims, or it will fail. And now they're at the point where they've made it a global currency. It is about to fail because now folks are jumping off the plan. You look at the BRICS organization, B-R-I-C-S, and a lot of these organizations, they're jettisoning the dollars fast as they can. They're moving their money to other currencies and then trading that for petrol or for, you know, the oil. And so they're literally now challenging the supremacy of the global fiat U.S.-led currency, just showing what a sham we are is really what's kind of taking place, right?
No doubt. And we've been undermined and sold out. There's nothing left but an empty husk. Now, this wouldn't be possible in 1971. You know, it'd be regardless, the dollar was still backed by gold. And so the United States would have an alternative. The same way in at the end of the Great Depression, people didn't just collapse and go down into basically becoming all homeless. They still had dollar bills, and the dollar bill was still convertible to gold. So they still had access with their money to real, physical element that would allow them to exchange it for something of value. You could exchange a single gold coin in 1929 or after the Depression for a full suit, you know, a tailor-made, good-looking custom suit with belt and boots and the whole shooting match. Now you can't take a dollar and, you got to pay $18 now for a Big Mac and fries. And McDonald's is now telling the world that it looks like the American consumer has cracked. Well, certainly the American consumer is cracked because that's the plan. And in this particular article, I try to make I walk through the current situation by saying that the allure of gold and silver remains strong, even though the people are attempting to talk people out of it. And you'll know the United States does not promote gold or silver in any way, shape, or form. You have to be born in India or China to get the idea of what gold and silver really are, because those people didn't lose that education and that knowledge. It's been taken away from the American. But Americans are smart people, and they can pick it up really quick. So they're finding out that precious metals will hold their value. Now, we see silver and gold at prices like $2,300 and $2,400 recently for gold and silver, unbelievably low price. And if I don't make any other point today, let me make the point that I'm a believer that silver is the most undervalued financial asset on the earth. It is has no equal. And it's that way on purpose, because historically silver has been mentioned in times of antiquity to today as a common man's money. And so to have silver right now at $28 is ridiculous, given that the value of the U.S. dollar craters every single day. The price of silver should be going up correspondingly. But however, we were in a financially rigged market. That's why I asked for you to go check out the idea of pricing your goods, your food, your lumber, you name it, in gold and not dollars. And you'll find that they have held that gold holds its value. And these prices haven't changed terribly, even in the course of recent days when they're beginning to destroy the supply chains. And actually, food's going to go up against gold when they eventually get around to making it impossible for us to get food. Then it'll go up naturally because of supply and demand. But if you look at it all the way up into 2020 and the fake pandemic, you'll see that food prices were falling quite naturally against gold. Now, so what we have today is people looking for physical silver and gold. And I talk a good bit about it. And on my patriotsnetwork.com, under the tab called Silver and Gold, I present some articles that can help you understand how to understand silver and gold. For example, I talk about pre-1964 coins, which is called junk silver or junk coins. And I talk about how to value them,
just for reference point, is kind of a misnomer because it's not junk at all. The only reason they say that is because it's, 90% silver. And so it's got other metals in there to harden it so that it can be, you know, used longer and it's more rugged. That's why they call it junk silver, because it's not like 99.9 troy ounce or anything like that. It's just There's a percentage based on it, but they've got other metals in there to harden it. So they call them junk silver, but it's nickels, dimes, and quarters primarily, right? Halves, et cetera.
Yes. And they're super valuable. And we'll just real quickly note the value. The value is that at some point in time, the dollar won't buy anything. At some point in time, they're going to attempt to push you into a central bank digital currency. And they're going to tell you if you don't, you can't buy anything. Okay, but silver is still
where they're headed for sure, folks. Yeah. But understand that if you look at the times of Moses, it was said that you could buy 300 loaves of bread or a fine handmade tailored suit for an ounce of gold. The same is true today, Jack.
Yep, exactly the same. Hadn't changed. So therefore, they are a stable element for financial purposes. And so with those junk coins, quote, junk coins, as they would identify them so that you don't find any interest in them, you can take a dime, you know. And so how do we, for the time being, while we're not working with any way to exchange gold and silver for chits, we have to have a way to use gold and silver, you know, at the very beginning. Well, no better way exists than pre-1964 coins. So, you know, a dime today is worth about $2.
It'll buy a gallon of gas, Jack.
Yeah, it'll buy a gallon of gas. So you could take that dime and go out and buy a gallon of gas or whatever would be fungible. In other words, you could buy in the supermarket for that amount of money. And so as the dollar becomes less valuable, it'll even represent more dollars. And so it's a store of dollars like gold is as well. Now you can get 2,400 single dollar bills inside of a coin that's made of gold. So you've really got a banking system as well. It's a magical thing. So anyway, I want to let people understand that there are reasons why you would want these junk coins. They are still available. They made millions and millions of them. And if you have them around your house, they are not, never, ever use them for their face value. That would be a terrible thing to do for yourself. But put them aside. And if you need to, collect enough of them together and exchange them for dollar bills for the time being. But regardless, so if we keep going into this article, build a fortress around the destruction of your dollar, we understand then we can use gold and silver as that fortress. And we also know that we have ways in which we can monitor the market that we're currently in to decide how much time we have left, what's really going on. And so I have a section here titled A Glimpse into the Debt Markets and the Fed's Dance with the Money Supply. Okay, so the Federal Reserve is a central bank, and I think extensively on the fact that central banking is a nemesis of people and mankind. It is a system entirely designed to benefit a handful of people at the expense of all people. It is basically a blood-sucking tool that permanently drains the value of your wealth. And it does so surreptitiously, and you become part of the herd and go with it unless you wake up and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm not going to allow this to happen. So I recommend that people look at the bond market, and that's also called the debt market, because the Federal Reserve sells debt, and the debt's the only product the Federal Reserve or central banking has is debt. And doesn't that make sense? Because debt is a tool of enslavement, and the Federal Reserve will sell that debt to you freely 24/7. In fact, the Federal Reserve and the central banking systems around the world, which are all intertwined, are now stuck in a mess wherein they must sell debt around the clock in order to maintain the viability of these currencies. And the U.S. 10-year bond is a metric that is something that I look at, and I know other people do. One of the people I like to follow, and you should too, is Greg Mannarino. But regardless, bond prices fall when interest rates increases, and vice versa. And if you look at the current interest rate on a 10-year note, you'll find that it's...
Let me stop you there and put this, because a lot of times when people talk financial, they speak, I don't want to... They do their very best, but it's complicated. And so they speak in kind of metaphors and difficult language. And so say that again about interest rates. When interest rates go up, bond markets tank, right?
Yes. So
let me say that another way so people understand. That penalizes anybody who saves. When bond markets go down, the savings is being robbed, right?
Yes. And so what we have is a bond is just a contract, and you promise, you know, you hand over a chunk of cash at one time, and they promise to pay that back to you over a period of years. And that's called debt or a bond. And there's lots of other names they use for it, which makes it confusing. But if you understand that if you buy a bond, you pay a certain dollar value for that. And as that value becomes eroded of that original bond that you bought, you won't be able to get back. Or sometimes you can get back more if you were to sell yours on the street in the open market, which is you can do. The value you get back is depending on the health of the economy, basically, or temporarily it can rise and fall, and you get a windfall accidentally. But regardless, what I'm saying is if you keep an eye on the bond, not the prices of bonds, that's not that important, but on the interest that you have to be paid whenever the value of your bond goes down. So in order for you not to say, well, I'm not buying this bond because, you know, you promised to pay it back to me in little chunks over a course of the history, but I don't get any benefit from you having my money for all that time. So they pay some interest rate on that bond. And that interest rate then fluctuates in real time based on how awful the bond is, or and how hard it is to sell, or how wonderful it is and how many people want to buy it. So we can just keep an eye. That's all we can do with this bond thing, is just keep an eye on that rate. You can go to finance.yahoo.com and go right over to the 10-year yield and monitor that on a daily basis. If you do, you'll find something very interesting. It is a war zone and has been since I started writing about it in earnest, I'd say about 3 years ago when it was down below 3%. It is a constant struggle of up and down and up and down. And what that indicates, and that's the Fed's dance with the money supply, is that when the bond yield starts to rise, which is the fact that you pay more for everything in terms of interest, it drives up the prices of everything, not just that bond yield. When that number starts to rise, the Fed begins to dance with the money supply to bring that value back down. And so we will see in real time these numbers going from, you know, a few weeks ago, we had, maybe as many as 15 days ago, we had the yield at 5%. And today it's down around 4.5. It has even dropped down to 4.3 and 4. Well, if you study this number a lot, you realize that to go from 5% down to 4.3 requires an enormous amount of Fed injection of money into the system. And it does that by buying its own debt. And the more of its own debt it buys, the more confident the market is that their bond investments are good, and the rates begin to fall again, and the prices of the bonds go up a bit. And so there you have
it. Think about it like this, ladies and gentlemen. Our goal is to build a fortress against the destruction of the dollar. It's important to understand that in economic times of economic turbulence, it's crucial to understand a lot of these factors. You don't have to be an expert in everything, but you've got to generally understand that, look, they have fake money. That fake money is absolutely worthless. The only thing that holds it together is the, quote, the confidence we put in it. And the reality is, look, when it rises, inflation is robbing the savers. Robbing those who have savings, who have assets, because all of it becomes worth less. And while that happens, then they clamp down. Well, the only way they can do this is with a paper play. And what I mean by a paper play is you buy gold, or you buy silver, or you buy commodities, all of it's on paper. And so all they got to do is play games with shorting and this and that, and buying, the plunge protection team comes in and buys this, buys that, sells this, sells that. And instead of letting the free market work as it was designed to do based on appropriate supply and demand, they have a dishonest fake supply and demand. So take gold and silver. Right now, gold is suppressed. Silver is even way more suppressed. However, the only way they can play that game is by doing it on paper. Everybody invests in paper. But if everybody took possession of their silver tomorrow, number one, it would completely fail. Number two, silver would go up to its rightful place in terms of value and realism. But because of the paper play, and because nobody takes, quote, possession of their metal, and if you're very careful in the reading of these contracts when you buy paper play gold and silver or any of these things, they say if we don't have enough gold or silver, we'll pay you back your principal. So they might basically come back when you say, I want possession of my silver now, please send it to me. They'll just send you back a check, and you're like, wait a minute, I want my silver. And they'll be like, no, the fine, print in the contract says we don't have to pay you, because they don't have it. It's a lie. And the only way that lie would be exposed is if the people demand payment in full or take possession of the metals. And so this big paper play is really how they're playing the game. It's all a big lie. It's a con game. And as long as we have confidence in it, it'll stay propped up. Eventually, it will eventually fail, though. And there's a lot of people warning about that failure right now. Elon Musk sounds alarm about America's national debt, warning that without action, the dollar will be worth, quote, nothing, he says. Senator Rand Paul has been speaking out about this for a long time, and he's suggested that the national debt is the greatest threat to America's national security. Think about that, the greatest threat to America's national security, and warned that we're threatening the very existence of our currency and eventually our country if we don't get a handle on this. It's so bad that the national debt is the greatest threat to our country faces. We are rapidly approaching the, quote, crisis point. Believe it or not, Senator Mitt Romney and Senator Joe Manchin, both on this, as well as two reps, Bill, how do you say it, Huizenga, and Scott Peters, four of them put together a joint opinion piece that they released on this. And so now you have more and more and more people speaking out about this reality. And so Jack writes an article, Gold Gleams Amidst Economic Concerns, The Case for Sound Money in an Era of Central Banking and Rising Debt. Silver savior with this piece. This is important because what you're basically calling for, just like Rand Paul and Ron Paul before him and honest people, even President Andrew Jackson routed out the dishonest bankers in his day. We've got to realize that it's a battle between honesty and dishonesty. Honesty is the issue, Jack.
Absolutely, Sam. And we've lost honesty in our public domain. And that's not to say that people themselves aren't honest. I mean, Americans are so honest that, it sometimes harms them. And they're very gullible as well. I mean, they're called high trust civilization, and they do trust. And this is not a new subject. And if you feel like that this is over your head, it's not what this is about. This is not about being over our head. We want this over your head garbage gone. It was designed to put a cloud over your head, to make it disinteresting and unable to be discernible by those that didn't have to have that information right now. If you don't need to know about the financial system, why would you read about it? You might fall asleep somewhere or use it for falling asleep. But, you know, even back as far as Aristotle and before, Aristotle said the most hated sort of money making and with the greatest reason is usury, which makes gain out of money itself and not from the natural use of it. For money was intended to be used in exchange, but not to increase its interest. And this term usury, which means the birth of money from money, not something else, is applied to the breeding of money because the offspring resembles the parent. Wherefore, of all modes of making money, this is the most unnatural. Now, that system of making money is basically corrupt, and it allows people to generate money out of no work. There's nothing done to create it except make your accumulated capital available for somebody else to use. And then you become able to live off of the fact that it will create itself, kind of like a robot. And that's what we're talking about here today, folks, is just the fact that we want out of a system that was developed as a means to provide you with a debt instrument. When you're using a dollar, you're using something that was borrowed into existence, but it had no value. So somebody printed some paper, stamped some esoteric stuff all over it, and then presented it to you as your currency, and then charged you interest for holding each single one. So, you know, I wrote the article, Central Banking, the Shackles of Financial Oppression, to highlight the idea that this money system is a system of financial oppression. So if we jump back to gold and silver right now, and Sam was saying we have silver as basically an unknown in this equation because we don't know what silver's worth. Silver has been manipulated for hundreds of years in its price. And so no real idea, but we do have some clues, and there's something called a gold to silver ratio. And that particular ratio indicates how many silver ounces it takes to buy an ounce of gold. And on Patriot's Network, under the silver and gold tab, you'll see that I've written an article, what is the silver to gold ratio and why is that important? Okay, so that's something that you may be encouraging you when you're thinking about, should I buy gold or silver? Or if you already have some gold,
then you might understand that the typical ratio between silver and gold used to be like 15, maybe 20 to 1. You say, well, exactly. Why would it fluctuate, Sam? Because everything fluctuates. Everything has, you know, if all of a sudden it's a lot harder to get gold for some, you know, reason, then it might slightly change, but it's usually 15, 20 to one at most. Then they pegged gold at $35 back in the day to try to prevent the rout from happening too fast as they deceptively tied it to oil. But I bring that up because, you know, hey, 15 or 20 to one was what it was. You used to have a $20 gold piece. Well, you used to have a silver eagle, gold, silver dollar, 20 to one. Okay, 15 to one. That's typically what it is. Right now it's 80 plus to one, right?
Yeah, that's 86. If you go to that silver-gold on my Patriots Network, you'll see I have a little indicator at the top. It's 84.56. It's recently been as high as 100 and actually over for a short period of time. So, you know, right now might be a time. This is not investment advice, by the way, and I'm only an amateur talking about this. My primary profession is engineering. However, I did get interested in it. I attempted to complete a PhD in economics, but I ran out of the ability to do all the driving to school. I got 20 hours in. I did complete the work for an undergraduate degree in economics, so I have some idea what I'm talking about. But this is not investment advice. But some people right now will exchange their gold coins for silver because they're going to get 86 silver coins for one gold coin. Now, if we go back to the days of the Weimar Republic after World War I, when Germany was saddled with unreasonable amounts of debt and their currency was being destroyed, that ratio dropped to 5. And historically, in the past, a few times, it's dropped 1 to 1. 1 ounce of silver equals 1 ounce of gold. So right now we know silver is on sale, and that's our indicator. We don't know exactly what silver is worth, but that gives us some sort of a clue. And I will say that when this house of cards begins to collapse, there'll be a period of time when no amount of physical dollars will buy any silver because people don't know what to sell it at. You know, if the dollar's value is changing on a daily basis, then maybe you can wait till tomorrow to sell your silver. In the case that you can't, then you're going to be knowing that you're taking less than you might have gotten tomorrow. And so there will be an undefined moment there for silver. So silver is the regular common guy's friend. The problem with silver, of course, is it's heavy and it takes more of them than the same amount of gold. But look at it this way. If you're buying it right now and storing it properly, then you can exchange it back to gold. And, you know, as it normalizes back to, say, 16, which Sam mentioned, that's a typical average over the course of history. Then, you know, you will be able to make some sort of balance between the amount of silver and gold that you have in place. But Sam, unless you want to
say, why would it get so out of whack? How does it get so out of whack, Sam? Is there a problem with silver or gold? And the answer is no. It's this paper play that I highlighted. Okay. If they had to call a halt to the con game, in other words, everybody said, we want possession of our silver now. Thank you. The jig would be up, Jack. And that's the part people don't really understand.
Nope, they don't. And I want to just add a sideline about gold and silver here and make a point about the fact that central banks have to be gone. Central banking is a prison system that has evolved and snaked itself through country after country to the point where every nation in the world is controlled by their central bank. And every nation in the world that would decide that they want to be out of the central bank will only be allowed to do so at the decision of the central banks, not because they say, I want out, or they claim that they could defend themselves as they did want out. Now, I won't belabor that much further, but I do want to talk about the fact that central banking is responsible for all the miseries that we're suffering in this world. Now, I want to say it's a derivative of all the miseries at best, but it is directly responsible and is directly responsible for all the war in the world. It has there's no counterpart that makes possible war like a large sack of money given to a hand of a nation who also has access to that same money to build armaments, then to build an entire industry on selling armaments, and then making its own people beholden by then giving them nothing else basically of value to invest in. As you know, the United States offshored all of its manufacturing resources over the course of several decades, not to say we don't make some things, and we do make some damn good things. However, in general, we don't make much at all. However, we do make the best weapons on earth. Naturally, then that is our primary product. And so without central banking, we will not have world war. We will not have sustained long-term conflicts that involve large masses of people who couldn't care less about each other. What could the person in the United States care about a poor Vietnamese person back in the 1960s? He was given some crap about, making the world safe for democracy, which is something most people should have vomited on the floor to hear. And in return, send your sons over there to die while we test new weapons and decide if different types of poisons work better than different types of poisons. And so that's not the fault of the American people, but the fact that we allowed this particular industry, this menace, the central banking system, to acquire the power that they had and to remain ignorant of the fact that how it works. And of course, they took that out of our educational systems. So the only way you could ever do it is by, clawing your way through the material. It might start with something like G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which, I mean, I worked my way through that book and I found it supremely satisfying to say I've read it more than once. And it is something that never stops giving, because once you know something.
Another book on this that's simpler, at least, you might lead with too, is called Pieces of Eight, written by Edwin Vieira. If you read Pieces of Eight, then you can back into The Creature from Jekyll Island, and a lot of times it puts a lot more sense to it. Jack has several different headlines that highlight what we're discussing now. First one is this, quote, domestic terror, central banks undeclared war on the middle class. That's how they're hollowing out and destroying the middle class. Eventually there will be just the peasants and the super wealthy if these people have their way. Your next column says their money, their world. The final warning has been issued, highlighting that, look, they literally control everything when they control the money supply. They literally control everything through that. Banks are going to be going bust. But I'm telling you, the leaders at the top will be fine. Americans will end up on the hook as bankers prepare the CDC for launch. The only way out of this now is to move us to something else globally to try to get the upper hand of dishonesty once again. They're going to try and do that through the digital currency called the CDC right now. The CBC's, what is that? Central
Bank Digital Currency, CBDC.
Bank Digital CBDC. Okay, that's what, sometimes they just call it the CBC too, Central Bank Currency. That's the only way they have out of this thing, that or war. They're going to gaslight us. They're going to eventually use this to fund world war and force us into this. If we call a halt to their con game, they'll just take us to war. So they've got some sinister agendas behind them and their focus on this, Jack. And your columns do a great job of highlighting this reality. If you want to learn more about what Jack's talking about, go to mypatriotsnetwork.com and you can read these incredible columns under the gold and silver tab. But Jack, talk about this, though. They're being forced to put the CBDC on us because they're basically going to run out of room to grow the Ponzi scheme. When you run out of new victims, you've got to change to a new Ponzi scheme to start over, right?
Right. Sam, I said that in capital letters, central banks are at war with the American middle class with the intentions of entirely destroying the American financial system and the middle class. It is not made up, not a so-called conspiracy theory, nothing. It's out in the right out in front of your face. There is a war against the American middle class. The American middle class is the central pillar of the American way of life. It funds everything that we've grown up with, that we decided was important in all of our great institutions. It makes possible the way in which we can grow up and have a few choices of what we want to do, et cetera. It certainly kept peace inside the United States for hundreds of years. But now the tide has turned and the central bank's teeth are open and as to their primary mission, which was to use the American financial system and all the wealth of the American people to build a global hegemony of not only the financial system, but also of military to force itself on every nation in the world to create what we've just seen with this pandemic hoax, and that's too mild of an example, the genocide of the pandemic, which continues today. They created the situation where they were able to get 197 countries in the world to go along with basically mass and lethal injections into their people. And the way they could do this is because they maintain control of them both physically with the military and through the political class and the central banking system. And therefore, there was no place for those leaders to go. Leaders that didn't work out were murdered or they were moved aside and the correct people were put in. And there's no exception to this rule. And so What we have to understand right now is that central banking and their ability to create money out of nothing, it makes it possible to buy and do anything in the universe, and nothing that the people can do about it until they say, we're done with the central bank. I want to say that in 2013, Michael Riviera wrote an article that summarized the problems with central banking, and he carefully laid out why perpetual war is a symptom of cancer caused by a parasite, which is identified as a private monopoly in the issuance of currency and debt. Michael called his piece, "All Wars Are Bank Wars," and that's worth watching and reading over and over and over. There are no other wars. There can be local conflicts. People in general don't want war at all. And when they do go to war, it's usually over something that is a emotional thing that lasts until that emotion is gone. And everyone says, let me go back to my house, please. Let's let the bloodletting end. And if you think about this tonight, that may be one thing you remember from this conversation. No central banks, no perpetual war, and no possible world war. Nobody sending your son 10,000 miles away to fight in a war they don't even understand what they're doing there for. And Ben Franklin said the refusal of King George to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system, which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators, was probably the prime cause of the revolution. Now think about that. That's the same argument I'm making. The war of Revolutionary War of the United States was caused because of the concepts of a central bank and the way in which the money system at that time was based on those principles. So we've been fighting the war against the central bank since the American Revolution, if you want to look at just America and the United States. But prior to that, that war went on and has gone on.
And now when we speak out about this, they just claim we're conspiracy theorists. They're just gaslighting all of us over this topic, right?
Yes, and I made an article with that title in there, Sam. I can't. You got it probably in front of you, but
this is through the gaslight darkly. Yes. Sifting for truth in financial markets, ladies and gentlemen. And what he's basically saying is, hey, it's a dark view when you continually hear the gaslighting and the manipulation and, oh, this is conspiracy and don't buy gold or don't buy silver, it's worthless. Or they're just gaslighting you and lying to you and trying to make you believe that somehow you're a horrible person for thinking about gold and silver. But China is buying up gold like nobody's business, and they have been for the last decade. If that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what does, Jack.
Right. And one of the points I make in that gaslighting article is that we don't have any assets that are not related directly to something tangible. That would be, farm equipment, farmland, a whole header of ready-to-eat meat and still on the hoof. These are primary tangible assets, but our financial system is based on a fiction and in total virtual assets. And gaslighting is where they tell us, for example, that the price of Apple just went up, or look at the prices on the stock market. Aren't they going up wonderful? I mean, Trump built his whole reputation on the basically nonsense that that the stock market was some sort of indicator of the financial system's health. No, that's just, hey, look over here. That's, the little man's over there. Don't look behind the curtain. Gaslighting is telling us that any of the current financial system assets are of any value. And I just, this article I read this morning for the first time, and it just makes so much sense. There was an article out that basically said that gold, I got to find it. Here it is. It was in Market Watch. The title is Gold is Overvalued Now and Won't Help You Beat Inflation in the Coming Years. So when you're done laughing at this article,
there's the gaslighting lies right there.
You can see. OK, and so what they do in here is a classic technique done by these psychopaths that control our world, in that they create these models. And many years ago, when I first started writing about financial systems, I wrote an article for goldseek.com. And I wrote a bunch of articles there. And Chris Mullen, who runs that place, was real kind to me because I was basically a young man, and he let me write articles that, are not simply polished, if you would say. But one of the articles I wrote was Models for Deception. And that article was about how these models generated by PhDs, who are mostly PhDs in economics, which I came to find out when I began my my study of economics to become a PhD. Mainstream economics is not something I would recommend anyone put their head into. Austrian economics is a different story, and that's what I became primarily interested in and would have changed to. But regardless, time moved on. The point being, though, that...
Well, and that is the solution is Austrian economics, right?
Right. That's right. And so what I recommend is that you understand that these models that they present to us, and they've got some beautiful charts, and they talk about it, and you can read it, and your head starts to go swirly about, gee, you know, they've got this amazing model. And in there, they do things like talk about the correlation rate being 29%, which is statistically
but
quite
it's all smoke and mirrors, ladies and gentlemen. It's all a lie. What you got to understand is honest money is the solution, and the best way that you can insulate yourself. The Absolutely. Best way you could build a fortress, ladies and gentlemen, is put a little bit of money in gold, a little bit of money in silver, put a little bit of money in food, bullets, beans, band-aids, preparedness. That is the answer to the problems that we face, ladies and gentlemen. To keep an eye on Jack's incredible writing, simply go to mypatriotsnetwork.com. That's mypatriotsnetwork.com. Sheriff Mack hopefully will be back with us next week. But man, he's got an aggressive travel schedule. Check it out at cspoa.org and look for the news, and you'll get a clue on that. For Jack Mullen and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Callforcivility.com.
All right, we're absolutely flat out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. TV and radio don't match up perfectly, so I'll do the final little tidbit on radio. But I want to highlight Jack Mullen, our guest today. He's also known as the Silver Savior, ladies and gentlemen, because he really believes honest money is the solution to the problems we face in America. And boy, howdy, do I agree with him. Our monetary system, debt-based currencies, and the role of the central banks in destroying Western civilization. That's really what's going on. You want to learn more about his incredible columns and articles, go to mypatriotsnetwork.com and you can check out Jack's great work under the gold and silver tab. But he writes weekly commentary about current market conditions. He really helps you build a fortress against the destruction of the dollar using constitutional currency, gold and silver. In times of economic turbulence, it's crucial to understand what's going on and make decisions that will best protect your financial portfolio. Elon Musk is sounding the alarm. Senator Rand Paul sounding out the alarm. Mitt Romney, Joe Manchin, both highlighting the problem. Okay? We need to make the case for sound, honest money, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what Jack does over at MyPatriotsNetwork.com. He does a phenomenal job. And understand, it's their money in their world. The banks are going bust and Americans are on the hook. But they're going to literally fund world war with this stuff if we're not very careful. They want to move us to a fake digital currency. Don't let them do it. Stand for honest money, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.